Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, welcome in, everyone. Is that Pacific Highway for our guest, Dan?
Oh, yeah, it works, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Ventura,
yes.
Highway, but yeah.
Yes. Wen Fa, attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation, is with us. He's been with us several occasions before. This big lawsuit, it's chock full of a lot. It broadly on affirmative action, but also Asian Americans in particular. The discrimination is rampant at places like Harvard and a lot of big schools. Wen Fa is an attorney with Pacific Legal Foundation on Talk Radio 1210. Wen, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Wen, I didn't look it up, so I ask you, since you know these lawsuits, the Wall Street Journal keeps on talking today about a decile, D-E-C-I-L-E, and that's a key term in this lawsuit. What is a decile? Do you know?
Yeah, so it's basically tiers. I believe 10% tiers, top 10%.
Okay.
The first decile.
Okay, that's it, yeah.
So basically, I think the gist of it is that you have similarly situated students in terms of academic performance, whether it's standardized testing, GPA, objective measures for academic performance. You have similarly situated students, and some of them have a great chance to get into these universities, Harvard and UNC, and others have a terrible chance of getting into the same schools, and that's just based on race. So I think that's what these things reveal.
Yes, and it says that there's a higher chance of admission for African-American, black applicants, Wall Street Journal, in the fourth lowest decile. So that's around the fourth tier starting at the bottom. Then Asian-American students in the top decile, 12.8% for black students at the lowest level there, and Asians 12.7%, even if they're in the very, very top. So it's a two-pronged thing. It's a continuation of this, but it's also, let's face it, however you want to look at it, targeting Asian Americans.
It's certainly discrimination against Asian Americans. And I think that, you know, when we look at the term, Asian American, a lot of these racial categories are very broad, arbitrary categories. Asian Americans include people of dozens of different countries around the world, and even people from the same city in the same country are different individuals. But I think that's one of the problems with these broad classifications is that Harvard sees these Asian Americans as overrepresented as a group, but they're not really treating them on an individual basis as the Constitution requires.
Well, let me give you, they're saying this is a specialized thing. I was just talking about the NBA a moment ago. Astounding numbers are African-American. So they're saying, look, when it comes to education as experts, Harvard and these others are saying diversity means a whole lot more than Dom Giordano says. It's not just intelligence, diligence at your work, skill academically. It's diversity. Why don't you understand that, Wen? What's your response to that?
Yeah, I think the concept is a very dangerous one. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong necessarily with the idea of diversity. I think viewpoint diversity is helpful in some contexts. But when you're talking about, for example, racial diversity, you're really treating people on the basis of their membership in a group. You're saying that you cannot get into this school because there are too many people who just look like you at the school. And that's a very arbitrary way of handling the admissions process. So we have to really really peel back the layers and see that this is racial discrimination in furtherance of diversity. And I think we treat that just like racial discrimination in any other context. It is wrong no matter what the end goals are.
Yeah. Now, they referenced the case, and I remember this when it happened, because Sandra Day O'Connor was the deciding vote, a Reagan appointee, and that is Grutter versus Bollinger, 2003, a 5-4 majority endorsed the idea that race could be a plus factor to help colleges seek the educational benefits that flow from a diverse student body. They put an expiration date on that, which was roughly 2 decades. Well, we're right there. And she was the deciding vote. And I remember she had a lot of language saying, well, I think 20 years from now, I would argue the other side on this, the progressive side, has dug in and taken this to levels that are way beyond what the argument was before. Where, in their worldview, the United States is even worse now. We haven't made progress.
Yeah, so there certainly was a 25-year time limitation in the Grutter case. I mean, to be sure, we believe that Grutter was wrong on the day it was decided, and it was wrong because it really carved out an exception. The Constitution and the civil rights laws in this country prohibit racial discrimination.
Yes.
What Grutter did was say that there was an exception in the context of higher education, and we just don't think that that's true. So Grutter should have been decided differently, but now that, you know, it was decided, we hope that this case, the Supreme Court will use these cases, I should say, the Harvard case and the UNC case, to overrule that erroneous decision.
And they will do it in this, I'm convinced. It's an obvious thing, given some of their statements before, including Roberts. The big thing is, though, where Roberts comes in this, I'd like to see a broader, given that window of Sandra Day O'Connor on affirmative action. Is it your legal sense, though, they'll probably stick to the instant case here and not broaden it out?
Well, every case establishes precedent in other areas. But, you know, I do think that there is certainly a moment in this country right now with the debate between equality before the law, which is what we believe in, and the folks that believe in equity. I think this is the moment, and I think we have to really make the stand that you should treat each people as an individual. Mm-hmm. You should not discriminate against any individual based on his or her race. And, you know, programs that guarantee broad group-based outcomes, really, in some cases, they have to discriminate against individuals. And that's why we think that the whole notion of equity is wrong. And that's why we advance equality before the law and equality and opportunity for all.
I like how you brought that up. So their doubling and tripling down on equity has made it clearly to any Supreme Court justice, they got to know equality under the law. That's what the country's about, not equal outcomes. So I'm glad that that word has gotten into the parlance a lot. So we've had Kenny Hsu on a lot, too, when the author of Inconvenient Minority. And do you think it will come up during this, that terminology, inconvenient minority for Asian Americans, or worse, white adjacent? I don't know who the architect of that was, but that is as telling of a discriminatory term put in just to keep Asian Americans into a column here.
Well, I really do think that this is what the particular type of racial stereotypes that these equity-based programs lead to. I mean, when you talk about Asian Americans, when you talk about any person, regardless of race, every person should be treated as an individual. They all have their own unique individual characteristics, their own individual aspirations, abilities, and achievements. And it's wrong for people to box any individual in based on his or her race. And I think that's exactly what these equity-type programs do.
I asked you a little bit. We've had different people on WNFA over the years, though. There is no doubt that significant numbers of people are excelling, in broadest terms, that are Asian Americans. I take your point about how they're lumping in all kinds of 90 countries here with this. And when we look at it, there is nothing wrong about it. It's something we ought to celebrate. It's the basic stuff: diligence, family, attention to this, drive. I mean, there's nothing magical here. There's no, you know, the thing that's out there, been out there sometimes, well, it's because people get a leg up when they come into this country as immigrants. Well, what do we say to people that have been here 20, 30, 40 years that are succeeding?
I think we should absolutely celebrate achievement. We should celebrate hard work. We should want opportunity for every individual. And I think the crux, one of the crux, the key points in this debate that is really going unmentioned is that this is not just a college issue. This is also a K through 12 issue. This is also a pre-K issue. And we do a lot of our equality work in the K through 12 context here at Pacific Legal Foundation. But you have to really consider that a lot of students of all races, but I think disproportionately underrepresented minorities, are stuck in failing public schools with no opportunity to get out. And that's why
exactly.
I think we want sort of an integrated approach that is not just against racial preferences, but also for things like school choice and opportunity for everybody to succeed.
Well put, as always. Wynn, thank you very much. Good luck with this. We'll keep our eye on it, as always.
Thanks so much.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.